You are tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by IDE Computers. Now your hosts, Sam Dunham, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Nerd Overload. Happy Pi Day, folks! So go ahead and figure out the circumference of your favorite round object while we tell you the best that pop and geek culture has to offer. I'm Sam Dunham.
I'm Josh Harrison.
I'm Samantha Cross.
And I'm Cody Pinnick.
Again, thanks for joining us this week. We have a bunch of news topics here, but before we jump into those, we're going to go ahead and hit some of the stuff we've been checking out.
Okay, well, I have been watching the new Netflix show, The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Tina Fey's new show. It is really, really good. Ellie Kemper stars in it.
Yep.
That cute little redheaded from The Office played, what's her name?
Erin.
Mm. She's fantastic.
Yeah, it's kind of almost the same character, but not really. More depth, because nobody in The Office had depth.
I guess I can tell you what's about.
No, not really.
It's like this girl gets, 15 years, she got... I want to say Tooken because that's what it used to be called.
Yeah, that was the original name of the show was Tooken.
Oh, really?
He changed it. Oh, he actually made a joke about it in the last episode we watched. Like, who says Tooken? Anyway, she's basically got tricked by like a reverend, but I can't think of the word.
Cult leader, reverend guy.
Kind of like that one group.
Oh.
I know.
A cult group.
Okay. It was the cult, the guy that thought he knew when the world was going to end.
No.
Either way, a cult guy.
Yeah, basically, they tell him the world's going to end, and it keeps him in a bunker for 15 years. So, like, since 98. So that's, like, the last, you know, like, pop culture and stuff that she has.
So it's kind of like Blast from the Past?
Kind of, but she decides to move to, well, she gets, they're going to Today Show. And she decides to stay in New York.
Okay.
Yeah, because back in Dernsville, Indiana, she'll always be the victim.
She doesn't want to be.
What'd they name them? The mole women or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not sold on that name.
But it's seriously one of the most diverse casts I think I've ever seen in a TV show.
Really? Now, this is just a Netflix thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's awesome.
Gotta love that Netflix.
Ordered second season.
Excellent.
But I'm trying to think what else to say about it. Well, it's just really, really, like, female positive and...
Good.
Always a good thing.
Yes.
What the theme song is really catchy.
Oh, my God. Have you heard the theme song, at least?
No.
You should listen to it. It's really, really short, but...
It's like a weird mashup of a scene from the beginning of the show. Kind of like a... Who was the Hide Your Kids, Hide Your Wife guy? Andrew Dodson.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, it's like God. That kind of thing. It's like they made their own kind of, like... Andrew Dodson type of thing.
Oh, right on.
Yeah,
cool.
Like the, you know, auto-tune the news.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's like that. Oh, okay. Yeah, I gotta check that out.
It's really good. It, like, runs through my head all day.
Yeah, if you have Netflix, you have no excuse not to watch this show. And if you like 30 Rock, it's right up that alley.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
Oh, and there's so many, like, really, really good cameos. I'm not going to spoil any of them, but...
Okay, don't. Yeah.
They're really, oh, yeah.
I plan on watching it, actually.
Seriously.
Yeah.
It's seriously probably one of the best shows I've seen in a while.
Take your House of Cards and put it in the garbage.
Yes.
And watch the show.
I like House of Cards.
I've never watched it. I don't know. I'm just...
The characters are so good.
And ridiculous and goofy and off the wall at the same time.
Oh, that's
so good.
That's good. So it's like 30 Rock, you know, because those characters were pretty deep at times, but...
Yeah.
On the surface,
yeah.
Just goofy.
Yeah. I saw Jane Kazmarek is in this one as well.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much the same character, rich wife, but...
Yeah.
Still, she's hilarious at doing it.
Oh, sure. Oh, no, you know, you
can't
play to your
really
strengths,
doing
you know?
Else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her last name is Voorhees.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of silly names,
cool.
Of course.
What's her daughter, her stepdaughter's name? Xanthippe?
Xanthippe or something.
Xanthippe?
Yeah, Xanthippe.
Xanthippe Lannister Voorhees.
Wow.
Lannister!
Wow. Well, they always pay their debts. I guess I go next. I saw Chappie over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
How was that?
I really liked it. I mean, it's like, it's a lot like District 9.
Sure.
I mean, there are a lot of like very similar themes going on, except it's robots instead of aliens. It's in South Africa again, and I mean, it's just really good, and it's, I don't know, it's kind of like a rated R Short Circuit a little bit.
That's cool.
But instead of, like, you know, Johnny Five or Chappie being with his creator almost the entire time and learning from him, he's with a street gang pretty much the entire time.
Okay, yeah.
That sounds good.
And so he's learning from them. But at the same time, he's getting conflicted because he's got his creator coming in and going, you know, I don't want you to do crimes. You need to make a promise to me, and you can't break a promise that you won't do crimes. Chappie, no crimes. And like the entire time, and like his daddy, which in the film, a rap group. It's an actual rap group.
Diantwood, right?
Yes, Diantwood. Yes, are the main characters, at least the two main people, anyway.
Right.
Ninja and Yolandi. They're pretty much his mommy daddy, and his mommy's really nice and trying to make him actually teach him and stuff. And then you got Ninja, who's just trying to use him for his own gains and manipulating him.
Right.
And so every time he tries to get it, and he's like, "Is that a crime, Chappie? No crimes, Chappie. Make a promise." Yeah. Chappie's played by the same guy who played Wickus in District 9.
Oh yeah, what's his name?
Oh, he's here. I never saw.
He was Murdoch in
Gorillas. No,
no. in the A-Team remake.
Oh yeah.
He's going to be in that Powers show that's on Sony.
Oh okay.
Sony Network. Yeah, whatever it's called.
It's just PlayStation. I think PlayStation watch it on PlayStation.
Oh okay. He's like Blomkamp's
best friend, actually.
Like you can compare him to Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell.
Yeah,
kind of. They put in all of his movies. Basically.
Yeah, yeah. He's in every single one of his films, and they're like best friends in high school and stuff. Yeah, they're growing up together. And yeah. I mean, it's really good. I really like it. I kind of want to see it again.
Oh, cool. Cool.
It's just a really good film. But it's, you know, if you're against a lot of swearing and terrible things, then you probably shouldn't see it, because there's a lot of that.
I wondered why it's been reviewing so bad, because I think it looks good, and I want to see it, but the Rotten Tomatoes score makes me leery.
I don't know. I mean, I've done a lot of reading of, like, backstory stuff, and, like, the Diantwood people, they really, they made behind the scenes really hard for a lot of people, I guess.
I actually heard about that. I was going to say, Sigourney Weaver was being interviewed on, I think it was The Daily Show or something.
Yeah.
And there was a really weird edit during her interview when they asked about, Jon Stewart asked her about the Diantwood people, and she said something like, "Oh, they're really special," like that, kind of. Like a real sarcastic kind of thing. And then there was like a weird like camera change, like a whole weird jarring edit where something was cut out of the interview.
Yeah.
Something was totally chopped.
The script had to be changed because Hugh Jackman was flying in to shoot his roles, and he was supposed to interact with Ninja more. Mm-hmm. But I guess he thinks he's a total tool and refused to work with him.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. They were like, they wouldn't eat with the other crew and cast and stuff. They made all kinds of like crazy demands, just a lot of they basically were really divvying it up.
Yeah.
And it made a lot of people, like the guy who plays Hippo, the main like big crime boss guy in the film, you don't see a lot of, but he's kind of like the looming dark figure for the little street gang people.
Is he like a king?
Kind of
like a king hippo. My Punch Out reference.
I was thinking that.
Yeah.
Well, he's kind of like the big crime boss of the area. The guy who played him, he hated working with them too. They just absolutely couldn't stand him. Because Ninja was like telling everybody like their cues and stuff, and like telling them how to act and stuff. And he's just made it really hard for people.
Maybe ended up in blackballed reviews or something. I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows?
I don't know. But I really enjoyed the movie. It was a lot of, I really liked it. It was good. And sometimes it gets really deep toward the end. Like it's like it makes you kind of question a lot of things.
Some Isaac Asimov stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds good then. Yeah, well, I want to see it.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing with Blomkamp's things, though, between Elysium and District 9. And
I heard Elysium wasn't that good. I never actually saw it.
Elysium wasn't very good, but that has really not a whole lot to do with the directing. It was very thinly veiled, from what I understand, it was a very thinly veiled allegory for Latinos coming into America. And that's what it was all about. Matt Damon's part should have been, it was whitewashed by the studio. Okay. It should have been played by someone of color.
Okay.
And that's kind of where a lot of the problems came from.
Way to go, Hollywood.
All right. Number one.
Well, I just have a couple things here real quick. I've been listening to a new podcast because I'm always listening to new podcasts. This one is called Cruising Together. Okay?
What is that?
Okay, so it's two comic artists, Chris Giarrusso, who did a lot of the, he does an independent comic called G-Man. He does a lot of the mini Marvels, the little cartoony looking kids. I have a couple of sketches from him from cons years ago. It's the only con sketches I actually have paid good money for. Him and another artist, Greg Schlegel, who probably wouldn't recognize his name, but if you're a comic collector of Marvel, a Marvel comic collector in 1994, I guarantee you have some of his art because he did all of the art for the Spider-Man Fast Lane anti-marijuana insert comics that ran in every Marvel comic in the year 1994. Guarantee you have at least one in your collection. They do a podcast where they, in theory, talk about Tom Cruise movies. Every episode, they talk about a different Tom Cruise movies. Right now, they're up to All the Right Moves. And, you know, they say it's about Tom Cruise movies. It's not really. It's just a springboard for them to just goof off and say stupid stuff. And it's light. It's fun. There's nothing deep about it. They don't really talk about the movies. They have a guest on every week. It's funny. It's good. I kind of like it. But yeah, cruising together. It's really funny. And another thing real quick. This just came out today. Did you guys see that thing on funnierdie.com? Michael Bolton went through and they put him into Office Space as the Michael Bolton character. And they basically just CGI'd his head onto the Michael Bolton, the character's body. And he just speaks the lines. And the one line they change is instead of saying untalented ass clown, he looks right at the camera and goes, incredibly talented ass clown. And then just keeps going. And they do the whole thing with the him breaking the printer at the end.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
It's really good. It's really funny. You know, I like it when celebrities get it and they make jokes.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I've never been a fan of Michael Bolton. But between this and have you guys heard the Lonely Island?
Yeah, the Pirates of the Caribbean song.
Yes, have you heard that?
I have.
Oh man, music video is great for it.
They start to try to sing like a party theme, and he keeps talking about the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
And eventually, in the music video, he ends up dressed up like Jack Sparrow, and then Forrest Gump.
Yeah, and they're like, "What? How does that make sense?" It is a good one.
It's a Scarface. It's pretty great.
I have been watching a lot of Steven Universe. We talk about watching children's cartoons a lot on this show.
We do, but that's okay.
But yeah, but that's cool.
Well, we're animation people.
Yeah.
We're like in a golden age of animation, I think.
Oh, yeah. I agree. The cartoons on now are way better than anything that we had as kids. I mean, we had some great shows, but we didn't have anything with this level of writing in it.
Okay, I can see that argument.
Adventure Time and Gravity Falls, like, we didn't have anything that was this good.
A lot of time, they are getting deeper. They are getting a lot deeper.
Yeah.
They don't have to sneak in the intelligent stuff quite as much as they used to, because Powerpuff Girls and, like, Dexter's Lab and stuff, they were intelligent if you were looking for it, yeah. But they had to really kind of sneak it in because they still kind of thought, you know, cartoons are there for little baby children.
Yeah, kids are stupid. Like, yeah. But Steven Universe and Gravity Falls and Adventure Time respect their audience a lot more than anything that we had. But anyway, Steven Universe has been really killer lately. They've been really fleshing out these characters to a really deep degree, more than you'd see on an average kids show. Actually, all this week there's a new episode every day of the week.
Really?
What? They're calling it Steven Bomb.
Oh.
Wow.
But so far the ones they've had out were really, really good.
Okay.
And yeah, I'd recommend you watch it if you dig cartoons.
I mean, I was really hardcore into it when it first came out, and I watched like the first 10 or 15 or so. And then for some reason I think I forgot, and then I just kind of fell off it, and I was like, I won't catch up.
It's worth it.
I know.
even though they keep saying that March 30th is when Star versus the Forces of Evil is supposed to be its premiere, but somehow two episodes have already sneaked out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was supposed to premiere on... It was Disney Channel bought the show.
Yeah.
And then the first episode played on Disney XD for some reason.
Which is their more adult aimed toward, like, cartoon? Like, that's where Star Wars Rebels goes.
XD
and that's where,
is their voice channel.
Yeah.
Yeah. But which is really funny because Star is a female-led show. It's so good.
It is. It's really good.
Yeah. I know. You've been telling me about that one. Yeah. You both have, and I need to... actually sit down and watch it.
I can't help it. It's so good.
Okay.
Yeah, well, watch more cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Support animators.
If you take one thing away from this episode, watch more cartoons.
Don't grow up.
Don't grow up.
Don't grow up ever.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and get in some news here. Let's start with an easy one. There's a rumor that Chris Pine is going to be Green Lantern in the Justice League and Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, the movie.
Money sink. No, they're not gritty. They're edgier.
Well, that's dumb.
That's what they said.
That's the worst word. Whenever somebody says something is edgier, it just means it's terrible.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's been made terrible.
Yeah, pretty much. But anyways, what do you guys think of this? Now, by the time this movie gets done, and if he is in fact Green Lantern, and they'll make a solo movie of it, it'll be 9 years since the Ryan Reynolds one. Do you think that's long enough between the two?
I think they could do it
kind
now.
Kind of wash the
yeah, bad taste out of our mouths?
Yeah. Yep. Now, are they going to gritty up the Green Lantern, too? Is he going to be like the olive lantern or like the slightly greenish-gray lantern or something like that?
They should just, you know, just screw it and just shoot the movies in black and white. Because that's almost, or gray and brown, because that's pretty much the way they're going.
That's pretty much the way they're going, yeah.
They're just
going
to call him the Lantern.
Yeah.
Even though that ruins the entire, you know... canon of Green Lantern.
Yeah. And I mean, the character would stand out like a sore thumb because his powers are all, you know, light-based.
Neon, like, bright green.
Yeah. How would they do that standing next to, you know, super, you know, muted Superman and gray and black Batman and Aquaman with his stupid neck tattoo and...
And
Xena Warrior Princess.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty
honestly,
much.
You know, they keep saying this isn't going to be a Justice League movie.
I bet it is.
It's pretty much a Justice League movie. It's a Justice League movie centered around Batman and Superman fighting each other.
Which is a dumb conceit anyways. Why are they fighting each other? Why can't they fight the bad guy? Isn't that what superheroes do? Fight the bad guy?
Why can't they just be friends?
Super friends at that.
Yeah, I like chummy buddy Batman Superman. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but that's not gritty. That's not edgy. That's not dark.
That's not what the audiences want, even though...
That's what the audiences want.
There's quantifiable evidence that, yes, that is exactly what the audience wants.
I like Chris Pine. I dug him as Kirk and stuff like that, and I didn't watch Into the Woods, so I don't really have that experience.
He was pretty good in it.
I think he'd play a good Hal Jordan. I think he can be a cocky space pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he'd be a better Hal Jordan than Ryan Reynolds was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing against Ryan Reynolds. I really like Ryan Reynolds, but he was not Hal Jordan.
Now, what do you think about them not taking this opportunity to diversify their cast? Because this is yet another...
white guy?
A 20 to 45-year-old white guy cast in a role.
When it could be John Stewart.
If they could alter any of the... core Justice League members to being a person of color or diversify the cast. Green Lantern's it because there's one right there. They did it in the cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no one threw a stink other than, you know, the normal amount of people. That
other than it was, why isn't it Hal Jordan?
Pretty much. But I don't know. Now they have cast a cyborg for this. So
yes,
there is
person of color.
Yes.
One token for good job.
You said it. I'm glad you said it.
Good job, Warner Brothers. You got a token black guy in your movie.
Yeah, but they could have.
Though, if you want to get technical, Gal Gadot is technically a person of color.
Oh, she is Israeli.
Yeah. Playing a Greek goddess.
Yeah. But I mean, if you don't know that, what'd she look like? Just a long legged.
Very long. She's.
Good looking.
She is, but I feel she's not Wonder Woman.
She's not muscular enough.
That's my biggest thing. Yeah, she's pretty. And I do kind of dig the Xena Warrior Princess look. Just I wanted more color.
Yeah.
I think she's beautiful and she's fine. And okay. I think you should judge her on her looks.
Well, okay.
No, I'm just saying, she, as a warrior, I would think you're being more warrior-looking.
She looks fine.
Actually, the first female ninja warrior winner looks about like Gal Gadot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Same proportions.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Well, I think Gal Gadot is a lot taller. That girl is really short.
I don't know. I don't know how tall that.
Either way.
But you don't have to be.
I'm not hating on her body. I don't know. I mean, it would have been interesting to see Jon Stewart or any of the other, you know, Green Lanterns from Earth.
Yeah. Or, you know, an alien Green Lantern, you know?
Yeah, let's have an alien guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been Sinestro, but Kilowog. Sure, but Kilowog, you know, anyone like that.
So I guess Tim Burton is doing a live-action Dumbo flick.
Yeah, speaking of bad decisions.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah, this isn't a rumor. This is confirmed. This is happening.
Live-action Dumbo, hashtag confirmed, where everyone's going to be pale and oddly proportioned.
I'm assuming the elephants are going to be CG.
My question is, where is Johnny Depp going to fit in?
He is going to be Dumbo. Or the mouse.
No. You know who's going to be Dumbo? Andy Serkis.
Oh, yes! Perfect.
I want it.
Oh, perfect.
Give them all the Oscars, because he doesn't get one, even though he should.
Also, his last name is Circus.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was laughing at.
Okay, over my head. Over my head. Yep. Happens when you're 4 feet tall. Yep.
I just hope that if they use live a real elephant, they have a huge mascara budget. Because I tell you, that's going to take a lot.
I don't know. I bet you could do a killer, you know, drunk scene.
The pink elephants on parade. Oh, yeah.
That freaked me out.
Oh, I know. That is kind of a terrifying part of the movie.
That seriously scared me.
Okay, so there's going to be a good 15 minutes in the middle of a two-hour crap fest, okay?
Yeah, it would be like the Willy Wonka tunnel. Yeah.
Which wasn't in the Tim Burton version of the movie.
You think it would have been.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll cut this out, too. Who knows? Yeah.
But no, maybe Johnny Depp will play like the mouse, like sitting in his hat.
I was going to say his left ear.
It's just like Johnny Depp stretched out, face CG'd over an elephant ear.
It's going to be all three of the racist crows.
I forgot about that.
He was racist Tonto, so why not be some racist crows?
Oh, jeez.
He played a Native American with a dead crow on his head, so why not play some crows in Dumbo?
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Big Eyes was such a good movie, and I thought maybe Tim Burton was going to turn it around and start making good movies again, but this does not sound that way.
Well, you know what? This might be the last refuge of, like, pre-Big Eyes, like, contractual agreements that he has to fulfill, maybe. More like that, yeah.
So Andy Serkis, Dumbo.
Confirmed.
Anyway, so in other news, Marvel Studios might be skipping Comic-Con, according to James Gunn.
Yeah. Someone tweeted at him or Facebooked him or something about, you know, what he's going to show for Guardians soon. He said, or asked if he was going to be at the con. He said, I don't know. Marvel's not like that.
That's weird.
And actually, when they came back and said, well, he's, you know, someone said, asked, oh, he's probably just joking. He retweeted and said, I never kid to my fans. I never lie to my fans about stuff like that. So this is pretty much it. That's kind of a big jump. It's kind of a risky move, to be honest.
Yeah.
I would love to see the Comic-Con be more about the comics. I'd like to see that happen more than anyone, you know, because it's in the past, you know, 10 years or so, it's really gotten away from...
It's been
the comics.
It's pretty much just a showcase of movies coming out, and here's all this stuff.
The San Diego Media Convention is what it's turning into.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see it go back to the comics. But I don't know if them skipping out means that DC Entertainment and Warner is going to have the main stage and have, like, undivided attention, and they could announce whatever they want and have almost no opposition for it. They would almost guarantee to blow out and win, and I'm using this in quotes that you can't see, win the con.
I love that when people talk about that you can win a convention, because it's the same way with E3, the video game ones. There's always somebody who won every year. It's like,
no.
Like, nobody won, just some people had more announcements or more better announcements than others. You don't win.
Right.
But...
yeah.
It's kind of weird because Marvel's always had such a huge presence. Yeah. And they've always had, like, you know, a lot of big stars showing up and all these panels. Mm-hmm. And they make all these, like, crazy surprise announcements that always blows people's minds. And
then again, they just did that. They announced eight movies, like, just on a whim.
Yeah, but DC turned around and did almost the same thing.
Well, because DC felt panicked.
Well, true.
They panicked. This is, and
us too.
Don't forget about us. We're here too. Stupid DC.
And I mean, again, this is just Marvel Studios. The announcement isn't that all of Marvel's not going to show up.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah, yeah. It's just Marvel Studios. That's why I said I like to see the con go back to the more about comics. And stuff.
Well, yeah, this is true.
Now, if Marvel pulled completely out, that would almost guarantee that Marvel's going to try to throw their own convention, or because Image does an expo every year. Image Comics does, and they announce all their new books on their own in one big deal.
Yeah,
and I can see comic companies eventually moving towards that as they're getting slowly pushed out of comic conventions.
That's yeah.
Sad.
It is, because the fact that when the comic convention is no longer about comics, movies.
I mean, look at Wizard World.
I know there's two booths of comics, and everything else is vendors.
And I mean, even with creators, the first Comic Con, back when it was Mid Ohio Con before Wizard World stepped in, it was all creators. That's where I met Peter David. It's where I met Tom DeFalco. I met a lot of like big name comic creators. Now, you know, you get maybe one or two that are there for one day, like James O'Barr or Rob Liefeld.
Yeah.
And that's it. And they're more, they haven't done really anything huge and major in years. They're more of a media personality than they are a comic personality at this point.
Yeah.
And they're like relegated to like two booths, like shuffled somewhere within the artist alley. Whereas you have the entire back section of the con for, you know, all your, you know, your Bruce Campbells and your Jason David Franks and your Lou Ferrigno's and everyone else. And it's just kind of a sad trend that, you know, the comics are being pushed out of the comic convention. It's kind of a shame.
The stuff that kind of started it all is now, you know,
pushed to the back.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's like those photo events I've seen where you have the entire cast of Game of Thrones sitting there and everyone taking their pictures and George R. Martin is just kind of off to the side.
Yeah.
I mean, he's there,
yeah,
but he's not. He's almost not in the frame.
Well, you know, if you talked to Martin, you'd be almost afraid that you'd say something wrong and he'd kill your favorite character.
This is true. This is true. Yeah. But I'd almost wanted to do that just so he could finish the books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. All right. And with that, I think we're going to go ahead and take a break here, and we'll be back after a little bit of music. Stick around.
This show has been made possible by the support of businesses like IDE Computers, PC sales, service, and more. Delaware Avenue, Marion.
And we're back. That was The Ballad of Serenity by Sonny Rhodes, the theme song for the show Firefly that ran on Fox. Created by Joss Whedon, and it was so good.
It was a great show. It was really a good show. What did it run? Only like 14 episodes or something like that?
Something like that. It was... And it's been, like, one of the biggest blights in the nerddom of how much it got killed.
Yeah.
And how everyone loves it.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah, it was great. And, you know, which is crazy, the fact that Buffy ran for 7 seasons and Angel ran for 5, though there only four of them were good. And I don't know, I'm kind of tired of shows that are just so good and I love watching them and then they get killed prematurely.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, that actually kind of leads into a discussion I want to have with you guys. Just kind of shooting around the table here, talking about some shows that may have been, like, you know, canceled before their time, you know?
Firefly.
Well, like, yes, like Firefly. Yes. Perfect example, Josh. you know what? A couple years ago, there was a show called Pushing Daisies. Do you guys remember that?
I remember that show.
That was a really good show, and it lasted, what, like 2.5 seasons,
I think so.
It was around the time of the writer's strike, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
And yeah, that's kind of what killed it.
Yeah, that's where the the guy can bring back the dead by touching them, right?
And then the second touch killed him off permanently.
Yeah, so there's like this girl he's like in love with, but he brought her back, but
he can't touch her.
Yeah, and they like each other a lot, but they do this thing where they hug themselves when they want to hug each other.
And
it's so sad.
And the whole thing was narrated like it was a fairy tale almost.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I've only seen, like, a couple episodes of it, and I really did dig it.
It was really good.
Yeah, it was a really good... It was very good Tim Burton-y.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was done by one of the head writers for the first seasons of Heroes, which is why Heroes, the first season, was
great.
Good. And that's a show that maybe...
went too long?
Is the opposite. Yeah. It should have been canceled and it went too long.
Yeah, there's like, what, 4 seasons of Heroes?
4 seasons, about 1.5 good ones.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know there was that many.
Oh, yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah, the first season was great. Second season was chopped in half because of the writer's strike. Half the writers didn't come back for the third season. It was terrible. The fourth season was starting to get good, and then it ended.
That's kind of how Angel went, too. Like,
yeah.
The first 3 seasons were kind of good. Fourth season is actually like, terrible. The fifth season tried to kind of bring it back, but then not really.
Yeah. I mean, like, Heroes, they were starting to get good again. They had a fourth season introduced, like, a circus full of, like,
people of metahumans.
Of metahumans. And they were roaming around the country doing crimes and stuff. And Ray Park was a knife juggler with super speed. And that is pretty great.
Of course, now Heroes Reborn is coming back as like a miniseries.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Enough about Heroes. Some of the other shows that I kind of wrote down. You guys remember Freaks and Geeks?
Yes.
I've always wanted to watch that, but I've never gotten around to
it. I've watched a couple episodes.
It's got a very young Seth Rogen and James Franco in it.
It has a very young, a lot of actors.
I know, right?
Like, what's her name? She was Velma in the
Scooby-Doo movies. Scooby-Doo,
live-action Scooby-Doo movies.
She's Wendy on Gravity Falls.
Oh, I know her name.
Oh.
Oh.
Gee, if only we had some sort of internet box that could tell us exactly what the names of these people are.
But I shouldn't need it. It's right on the tip of my tongue, and it's killing me.
You think of it while I look it up.
And we'll see who gets it first.
See who gets there first, yeah.
You just mentioned her name
the other day. It's an event where it's a race of knowledge. Who's going to win? Go to your home. Okay.
Linda Cardellini.
Cardellini.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, the show had, it had... Seth Rogen, James Franco, like we said.
The little brother.
Missy Phillips, yeah. Who's an actress on Cougar Town.
Yeah. The little brother of the main character, he was, he played Sweets on Bones. The FBI psychologist.
You're right.
Joel Hodgson was in an episode.
So was Trace Bellew.
And Ben Stiller.
Yeah,
yeah. Ben Stiller was like a presidential bodyguard or whatever. Yeah.
I think it'd be quicker to say who wasn't in it.
I know, right?
Yeah, well, speaking of Trace Bellew and Joel Hodgson, I actually think Mystery Science Theaters was canceled before its time, despite it being on air for like 10 years.
It could go forever. There's an endless amount of movies that make fun of.
Here's my argument. If the show started 5 years later, when it was hitting its sweet spot, it would have been the onset of the internet. And I think that, you know, that's when, you know, internet clips and YouTube clips and stuff really started hitting. And I think that that would have powered it to continue. And it would still be on today.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be on a major network, but it would still be running today. It'd probably be through like their 5th or 6th host by now. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's how the show worked. It was proven to work that way to switch out hosts and it's fine.
Exactly. So yeah, I think it was definitely canceled before its time.
Yeah.
For sure.
Almost Human.
Almost Human. Yeah, that's a really recent one.
Yeah.
And I mean I was really
into it too. And they left it on a horrible cliffhanger, and I mean
it was a mix of a whole bunch of different, it was like every, you know, future cop movie you can think of.
And there were so many Blade Runner references.
There was one that was basically Die Hard.
Yeah.
There was a Die Hard episode, essentially, where, you know, they...
hijacked an office building.
Criminals hijacked an office building to distract the robot cops from the bank that was being burgled next door.
Yeah.
By the other half of their crew.
Yeah, Carl Urban was, like, sneaking around inside the office building like he was, like, John McClane.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and there was there were ties to, like, iRobot and stuff like that. I mean, it was
really great, and, like... The opening was cheesy as all get out because it was just stupid, but it was just really, really good, and I was really enjoying it. There was like a big budget put into it.
Yeah.
And then Fox murdered it.
Like they do.
Exactly.
Like they do.
They're the evil.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, something that was canceled before its time, arguably, and was a huge hit now, Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Which is coming back.
Which is coming back, that's right, yeah. And they pretty much have the entire original cast coming back, well, the ones that are still around.
Yeah, which is good. And it's kind of weird, I always see the guy who played Agent Cooper, he's been on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
he's Kyle the best. McLaughlin. Yeah, Kyle McLaughlin's the best.
Oh, yeah.
He's hilarious.
On Portlandia. Oh, I know, right?
He's pretty great. Yeah,
yeah. I don't the know mayor of Portland.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the one where his parents cut him off?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that completely fun Portland. It's so funny.
Oh, that's great.
You're not getting this bridge now.
Yeah. You could argue the original Star Trek.
That's actually one I had written down here because it was supposed to be
a five-year mission.
A five-year mission that was canceled 3 years in.
And there was almost a Star Trek Phase 2 that didn't quite make it. I read about that the other day.
That's what the movie turned into, the motion picture?
Yeah.
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 That was originally supposed to be like the two-hour pilot for the Phase 2. And
then it just kind of fizzled out.
Well, Star Trek the motion picture was 2 hours of boring.
Oh, we're talking about the original movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That and Paramount was starting their own TV channel, and it was going to have the Star Trek on it, and then the deal with the TV station kind of fell through. It later became UPN.
Right.
But that's beside the point. This fell through for the time being, and we lost Star Trek Phase 2.
Yeah, but then we got Next Gen. So.
Yeah.
Which is arguably the best. In my opinion.
Arguably.
I like both. I don't think I can pick.
See, I could honestly say that I, outside of Enterprise, because that was crap.
I was going to make a joke about how Enterprise is my favorite, bar none. I was going to make the joke. But okay.
The other series I've really liked. I really, really liked Voyager.
Deep Space Nine was pretty good.
Deep Space Nine was good. I mean, it completely changed the format.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it.
And it got really good near the end.
Yeah.
And then Enterprise had great actors, but terrible writing.
And what is Star Trek with bad writing? It's nothing.
Yeah.
Some doofuses in space.
Space doofuses.
Another one that was canceled and actually made a resurgence of Veronica Mars. You know, they had that.
The whole crowdfunding thing, and they got a movie.
They got a movie, which I heard was not very good.
I don't know. I mean, everyone I heard watched it, so they liked it. I never got into Veronica Mars, so I really don't know.
Yes, I wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we want to count Arrested Development as canceled before its time?
Yes.
And then Netflix finished it out?
Not finished up. They have a fifth season coming.
Do they?
They do.
Really? I thought it was like done.
Nope.
Huh.
Nope. Arrested Development is one of those shows where they canceled it and they were given enough time to wrap it up. So it doesn't feel like a cancellation.
Yeah.
But they made jokes during the season about, you know, how it was originally like, you know, 22 episodes. It was cut down to 13. Because there's a scene with Michael talking on the phone about, you know, you ordered 13 houses or 22 houses. Now you're limiting our order down to 13. What are we supposed to do with that? Like that. Yeah.
They're not bitter. Not at all.
Yeah.
The Clerks animated series was canceled way before its time.
I didn't even know that existed until you showed me.
Yeah.
I watched it. It was weird.
It was on ABC for 2 episodes.
Yeah.
Which they played in the wrong order.
Yeah. Wasn't the first one like a flashback episode?
Yes.
Like
a fake flashback episode that called back to the original first episode. But apparently ABC's just like, this one tested better, so we're going to play this one.
Oh,
so
man.
It was, they doomed it from the start.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, because you can buy the rest of the episodes on DVD, there's only like six
of them or something like that, yeah.
It's one of my favorite animated shows of all time, and way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
It beat Family Guy to half the things that Family Guy did.
It came out like how many years later?
Just a couple years later, honestly.
Yeah. I do remember that. I mostly remember watching Jay and Silent Bob, like, no, it was Dante and Randall. Scaling the side of an L-shaped building.
Yeah, the original Batman 66 thing. And then why are we walking like this? And the camera pans out.
And they're like, they're not going up, they're just sideways.
Yeah. And the other episode was my favorite one with that court case that turns into like fake anime insanity at the end. Where who is driving? Oh my god, Bear is driving. How can this be?
Did you guys ever watch Dead Like Me?
Yes.
Where like people are like Grim Reapers.
Yes.
The girl killed by a Russian space toilet.
You've seen my mom watch episodes of it. My mom likes it.
Me and my sister really liked it when it first came out.
I remember watching the pilot and thinking, this is a good show, and then never went back to it, which I think is what dooms a lot of these shows. Is people go, oh, this first episode's great. And then, you know, you get busy and
kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
That happens to me a lot, even on shows I really like.
Oh, sure. Same here.
There's just so much.
Yeah.
There is a lot right now.
There's a lot of good TV. Like, seriously, a lot.
Like, I feel like I really like Constantine. And I really hope the rumors are true that it might continue just on a different network.
Yeah, I heard it's going to go to Sci-Fi.
Maybe. And be called Hellblazer.
You know what? I think we're going to, as we move further into, you know, the digital age and everything, I think we're going to see less and less shows that don't get their full run because of things like Netflix, where it's proven that if a show isn't testing quite as well on network, they'll sell it to Netflix and put the whole second season out in one big chunk, and everyone will love it.
Or like Community going to Yahoo.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how that works because
this is true, because like a third of the cast is coming back.
And I didn't realize Yahoo had their own separate streaming service until.
And it's free.
See, I don't know anything about Yahoo Video
or Yahoo Screen.
That it exists. I don't even know what it's called.
Yeah, I heard about it when the Community was coming out, and I looked it up. I was like, it's like, I wonder how much this costs. It's like, it's free. He goes, what?
I wouldn't know how to find it if I went to Yahoo. Like,
yeah. This is true. Yahoo's very confusing.
Did you know that Shout Factory has a streaming service?
I did. They just started it up.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some good stuff on there.
Shout Factory has a bunch of, like, home movies and...
The show Home Movies.
Oh, yeah.
Which is another one that was canceled before its time, definitely.
Oh, yeah, because it had H. John Benjamin as the soccer coach.
Yeah.
Coach McGurk.
Yeah.
I saw they like started up with like 30 episodes, and they're slowly...
That's why it got off of Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, as different streaming services are slowly getting... Mm-hmm. Losing their licensing for their...
Yeah,
That's cool. That's really good.
It's free.
For now.
There's some Gary Anderson puppet stuff.
puppy stuff.
No, puppet stuff on there. Like, not Thunderbirds, but something close.
Joe 90? Is Joe 90 on there?
I don't know. I don't think that's
God.
What it is.
Scarlet?
It's not Captain Scarlet either.
I hope it's Joe 90. Do you know what Joe 90 is?
Uh-uh.
It was a terrible... It was like the bad one that he did. It's about a kid who put on a pair of glasses that... temporarily for 90 seconds gave him any kind of knowledge that he needed to do like a thing. And the first episode ends with him flying a plane and then crashing it and dying. And the second episode it turns out that it was a simulation to prove why the Joe 90 project shouldn't work, because he would end up dying in a plane crash. And they went ahead and did the exact same episode again, and only at the end of the second one he didn't die in a plane crash. It was a bad one. Joe 90 was awful, but everyone should see it.
It reminds me of that weird secondary power from Meteor Man, where you just touch
touch a book for 60 seconds,
and you have all the information in the book.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's a weird movie, but it's a good movie.
It's a really good one. Yeah. Can you guys think of any more, you know, canceled before their time stuff before we move on to the next?
Young Justice.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good one.
That hurt my heart.
It did. It was. It was so good.
The season was getting really good.
I know. And the Bruce Timm CG Green Lantern series.
I thought you were gonna say Beware the Batman.
No, that wasn't Bruce Timm. I mean, he probably produced it, but it wasn't
was
like
in his style, kind of. But yeah,
not
the Green
really.
Lantern, the Green Lantern one was definitely in his style.
Oh yeah. I was really like it, and they were really building up to some good stuff.
Yeah.
Like bringing in the whole Green Lantern and Color War thing, but. Mm-hmm. It because toys didn't test well.
Cartoon Network doesn't know how to handle their superhero shows.
They don't.
Which is crazy, the fact they have all these other shows, they're running just fine.
There should be a separate DC superhero cartoon channel.
Yeah.
Or streaming channel or something like that.
Ooh, a streaming channel would be great. Because DC is releasing animated films all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're generally pretty good.
Yeah.
But like, oh man! But yeah, Young Justice is the one that really, really hurts.
Yeah.
And everyone talking about like, why'd you bring back the Teen Titans? Why couldn't we just had Young Justice? Because I don't. I personally do not like Teen Titans Go.
Yeah, I've heard that it's not very good.
It's like the super remember the original Teen Titans where they'd have episodes that were super serious and then they'd have one where it's like all chibi pseudo anime style and everyone's like goofy and bonking each other on the head? Well, it's a half hour of that.
Ugh.
Every episode.
Every episode. They're like little kids.
They had like one episode where they kind of it's a recent one actually. It's called Getting Serious and Aqualad from Young Justice shows up
and he's drawn like
Young Justice,
or as close as they can get.
Yeah, to and it. He's making fun of them. He's like, it's like it's not about eating pies and blah blah blah. It's about saving people and da da da. You need to get more serious. And so they get like, so they get serious, and they're like, almost like Dragon Ball power up, and they kind of like buff out and stuff, and get really square jaws. He goes, getting serious. Yeah. It's oh god, but the Aqualad was a nice touch.
Yeah, although Teen Titans Go did give us Batman riffing on guitar.
This is true.
Which is pretty rad. And like smiling and like, it's great. It's pretty great.
The anime look of Teen Titans always has turned me off.
Yeah.
Like I
loved the original series. I really liked it.
When it was serious.
Yeah, when it was serious. But yeah, Teen Titans Go, I don't understand why it's still, well, I do understand why it's still going, but it's meh.
Yeah. Okay, well, we got to get off this topic because we have something we've been dancing around. We don't really want to talk about it, but we probably should because it's important. Who wants to talk about Ghostbusters, you guys? Because we have about 10 minutes of the show left, so let's
complain about Ghostbusters.
Let's complain about Ghostbusters for about 10 minutes.
Yeah. You mean the two Ghostbusters films?
Because there's
Ghost Core? That's what they're calling it. Did you hear that?
Oh god.
Yeah, Ghostbusters Ghost Core.
Well, it's the name of the production company.
Oh, that's the production company. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Explain to listeners what we're talking about, because we could just go, "Oh, this is terrible," but they wouldn't know what we're talking about.
There are two Ghostbuster films coming out. One with Dan Aykroyd working on it and getting Channing Tatum, stuff like that. That is being made by a production company called Ghost Core. And then you have the Ghostbusters all female led reboot
from Paul Feig.
With Paul Feig. And basically the all male one was Dan Aykroyd going, I don't like this idea, so I'm going to use my name and my money and clout, and we're going to do this. What'd you call it that one day?
The He-Man Woman Haters Ghostbusters.
Yes.
It's going to be Girl Busters versus Guy Busters.
Pretty much.
I wish I could spit acid.
On Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah, elaborate.
Oh, it makes me so mad. It took 30 years to get female Ghostbusters. And it took 6 weeks since, you know, they announced the cast of the females to get guys.
Like, now, I will say this is all, a lot of this is rumor.
This is
true. Nothing has been set in stone for this one yet. So it's also going to take is someone from Sony going, you know, having conflicting Ghostbuster movies house.
It's stupid.
It's dumb.
Like, I can understand maybe, like, waiting a few years afterwards, maybe, if you have to, but...
Yeah, but see, exactly.
Talking about it or bringing it up is just completely taking away the thunder.
Yeah, bringing it up now is a bad move. Yeah, like you said, and that's the way I've kind of thought, too. Make one Ghostbuster movie, wait a year or two, make the other Ghostbuster movie and you know, see how they do and go from there.
Yeah, announce your second Ghostbuster movie the weekend when the first one is number one at the box office and you made a gajillion dollars.
Exactly. And I mean, we've talked about this before. We've talked about this on and off air. I'm one of the people that say it shouldn't be remade in the first place. But...
And I agree.
If you're going to commit to one version of Ghostbusters to do a reboot, commit to it. Don't undercut one movie by having another movie. And you know what this comes down to? And this has been rattling around in my brain for a while, too. And, you know, I'm sorry I'm interrupting. Because once I get this off my chest, we'll move on. With the whole SNL 40th anniversary came out.
Yep.
There was a little bit of backlash because they made such a big deal about John Belushi, which, hilarious guy, really funny. Noted quite a bit for, at the time, having the opinion that women are not funny, that women should not be in comedy, that only men can be funny.
True.
And because it's been kind of rattling around in my head that, you know, Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi were like, they were like brothers. They were, you know, they came up in Second City together. They came up in SNL together. They did a bunch of movies together. They were like friends off and on screen. Yeah. They were like brothers.
Yeah. They're like so Blues Brothers.
Yes. Well, yeah, Blues Brothers. Yes. Perfect. But anyway, it would not be much of a stretch to assume that Dan Aykroyd, whether consciously or subconsciously, has some of those same ideas.
It wouldn't surprise me.
And that's what this all is coming down to, and I think that is absolutely wrong. It was wrong, you know, 30, 40 years ago when the idea was first floated, and it's wrong now.
True.
I would even be okay with, like, a co-ed Ghostbusters guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, why not have both?
Like, that, then I wouldn't be mad at all. I'd be okay. That's cool.
Yeah, because now it's a thing. Now it's the, like, the girl Ghostbusters the, and the guy. Which one's the real one? Is because
it's
this one has...
Playtime girl one.
Yeah.
Like,
it's because this one has Dan Aykroyd and Ivan Reitman involved. Does that make it the real Ghostbusters movie? I don't know.
Now, maybe this is a movie version of the cartoon, The Real Ghostbusters. I just had that thought.
I was wondering when we were going to get to that, because you kept saying Real Ghostbusters, and I'm like, there's no Slimer in Venkman.
Yeah.
Also, Channing Tatum is a sucky choice for a Ghostbuster.
I've also heard that they've rattled around Chris...
Pratt?
Pratt.
Of course.
Of course.
Because it's Pratt and everything.
Yeah. Pratt all the time. Mm-hmm.
You know, he's in your Jurassic Parks, and then he might be in your Indiana Joneses. Yeah. He's already in your Marvelverse.
Well, like, how many of the original Ghostbusters were conventionally attractive men?
Zero.
None of them.
Maybe Ernie Hudson. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Zero.
Yeah. It's,
absolutely it's, zero.
Yeah, it's not what it's...
No, it's not, about writing yeah, and being funny.
Yeah, it's not about Magic Mike fighting ghosts. Like, seriously.
Diary don't cross the streams. Oh, perfect.
Well, it all comes down to them wanting to turn it into a cinematic universe thing like Marvel. They want to do Ghostbusters universe.
And you know what? If they want to do that, make the female Ghostbuster movie, commit to that one, then put out their second one. You don't... I don't know why so... Is it Sony? Is it Sony?
Yeah, it's Sony.
I don't know why Sony would agree to this.
No, it seems like a horrible idea, just business wise.
Yeah, it's you know.
I don't know. I don't understand. I'm kind of curious to see what Bill Murray's opinion on this would be.
He doesn't. He won't care.
I would like to see him cameo in the female Ghostbusters and not in the male.
Be like a ha ha.
If he was going to cameo, I bet he would.
Yeah,
he would do that one before.
He definitely does seem a little more. Socially conscious, I guess, would be the phrase when it comes to things.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, he's Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And anytime we ever see him, no one will ever believe this. Yeah. But. I don't know. I'm in the same school of I feel Ghostbusters should never have been touched at all.
And, I mean, I'm not saying that Ghostbusters is the end-all, be-all to comedy, but I'm saying no matter what the movie is, remake is, it's ultimately going to be compared to the original, and it's kind of an unfair comparison, but it's going to happen, and that's why I don't.
And that's what.
But again, if it's I'm sorry, yeah.
No.
But again, if you're going to commit to one version of the movie, you need to commit to it 100%. You don't need to split it.
Yeah, I mean they've already announced so much information about the all female one,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's this. It's like almost like a scramble. It's like, but wait, there's more.
We have something for you, MRAs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds an awful lot like Dan Aykroyd scrambling for relevance.
Yeah. Which we've talked about that
we've
before,
talked about
too.
That, too. Yeah.
I don't think there's enough material in the Ghostbusters canon for it to be a cinematic universe.
No.
Like, you can't come out with two movies a year about people fighting ghosts. Busting ghosts, no matter how good it makes you feel.
You can barely come out with one movie about busting ghosts. They couldn't do it back then. They had to do the whole slime thing and the magic painting and Statue of Liberty.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the second one, but the first one is like just far superior to like everything.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, they already tried to do Ghostbusters again, and we got Ghostbusters 2, and it's not as good. But still good. Just not as good.
Now, do you suppose that they're going to... This is a... The Channing Tatum version is going to be the original Ghostbusters about the two schlubs and the talking monkey.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe we should calm down. Maybe that's all it is, and it doesn't.
So Channing Tatum's going to be the talking monkey?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I might be able to get behind that.
I just hope it falls through or something.
I think it will.
Yeah, it's going to take is one executive to kind of, you know, look up from their panic attack that they're having about Spider-Man and go, this is a terrible idea. Why did we agree to this? To two Ghostbuster movies. Let's cancel the crap one and have the women have their shot.
Oh, yeah.
Because with the casting, I think it's going to be a great movie.
It has potential. It really has the potential.
And I mean, it has the right director for it. It has the right writers for it. It has the right cast for it, you know.
In my opinion, that would be of these two, the true Ghostbusters film.
It would be the one that would succeed. It would
be the spiritual successor.
Yeah.
It's the one that's different enough to keep you from thinking about the original the whole time.
Yes. Yeah. Totally. Totally.
I mean, and besides, if somebody asks if you're a goddess, you say yes.
Okay, well, I think that pretty well wraps us up for the week. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. You can find us just about at least a couple times a week over at nerdoverload.com. It's been kind of a rough couple of weeks for us, but we're getting back on it. Mm-hmm. You also go on Facebook, facebook.com/nerdoverloadwebsite.
See, we got a nerd_overload at Twitter.
Yep, that's right.
Feel free to send us any sort of messages or emails, or which you can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Oh,
also,
yeah, we always forget that one. That's always the one we forget.
If you got something you want us to talk about on the show, want to say hi, want us to read your letter on the air, send us something.
Yeah.
We will definitely do that.
Unless it's full swears.
Yes. Yeah.
So just don't do that.
Yeah. Please no.
That is the opposite of what we want you to do.
All right. Well, hey, again, thanks for listening, and see y'all next week.
Thanks.
Love you.
This show has been brought to you by IDE Computers.